I'm joined now from our Johannesburg studios by Blessing Uteti, Managing Executive at Old Mutual Corporate Consultants. Blessing, thanks so much for joining us. Is it as cold in Joburg as it is in Cape Town at the moment?
Good morning, Lester, and good morning to your listeners. Thank you for having me on your show. Yes, it is, it's actually a little bit warm this morning, actually. Not too bad.
Of course, a conversation around retirement is something that is regularly in our ether, in our environment. But why is it an important conversation to have regularly as we move on and on in our careers, as we talk to our parents, as we plan, and as we discuss maybe with our children are making their way out of maybe tertiary education and into the career space? Why is this an important, constant conversation to have?
Yeah, thanks, Lester. It's a very important conversation to continue to have because, you know, we often, when we start working, we often don't appreciate that retirement date is coming. And so if we don't keep talking about it and sort of educating and creating awareness around it, we find that, employees and members of retirement funds just don't pay attention to the right things to make sure that they've got a decent retirement outcome when they get to their retirement. So, you know, we say that retirement funds exist to help individuals to replace their income when they stop working. And unfortunately, in South Africa, we do have a challenge in that, you know, people are not able to retire comfortably. We've got a dire statistic that says, you know, only 6% of South Africans can retire comfortably.
Gosh, I don't know what that sound was, but that must be at Joburg Studios. I hope you're safe.
Look, I'm fine.
I'm midway through my career, and I have made plans, and I've started making plans, not at the very, very, very beginning, but as I sort of became comfortable and settled and steadied and sort of realizing, well, this is the thing that I want to do. But I constantly have this question of, is it enough? If in 25 years time, when I reach a retirement age, it's always this worry at the back of my mind. Is it enough? How much is enough for retirement? Let's look at the South Africa in 25 years time.
Yeah, so if we're talking about the objective of a retirement fund and what is enough, we talk about a concept called replacement ratio. So that basically says we would expect that when you get to retirement, you should have saved enough to buy you a pension or an income that's 70% of your salary that you received just before retirement. So if you're retiring at the age of 65, the month before you turn 65, you were earning a salary of 10,000 Rand. One would expect that you've saved enough money to be able to buy you a pension that can earn you an income of 7,000 Rand per month. And I think there's just to explain a little bit more about why we say 70% or 75%. Obviously, we would expect that when you get to retirement, there are certain expenses that you're not going to face. Mm. Things like your commute to work. Hopefully your children have left home and you know, you're no longer paying for education. But there are other expenses that do go up, such as your medical expenses, when you get to retirement. As you get older, you are more frail, so you do need more, you pay more for medical aid. Mm. Yes, so that's in a nutshell how we think about a goal targeting, and it's not a one size fits all because you know if you end up getting to retirement and you've got a young family that's children still going to school, you're still paying a bond, then maybe you actually need 100%. You actually need the same salary, so you need to have saved more to get to that number.
If someone is just starting in their career, they're probably not putting too much thought into retirement just yet because, of course, it is so far in the distant future. Why even should I start thinking about that? Even though it seems likely decades away, it's never too early to start, of course, planning and saving. Let's talk about the scenario of a person who just maybe the beginning of the year graduated from a university with a degree. They're in their first real job right now. What would be the first, and of course some companies structure a pension fund or some sort of provident fund, but beyond that, what would be your first advice to someone who in July of 2022 steps into their first job in professional or corporate South Africa?
Yeah, so the big issue there is the sooner you start, the better for you. You know, the sooner you start putting money away for retirement, the better. So if your employer that you're joining in July 2022 has got a retirement fund that you can participate on, and generally these would be compulsory to join, contribute into that retirement fund, and you need to be contributing at around about 15% of your salary for the duration of your working career for you to get to a decent, as I said at the beginning, for you to get to a decent replacement rate. So you need 15% for at least 35 years for you to be getting to a decent outcome when you get to retirement. So I'd say to that individual, that graduate that's joining, start as early as you can. Start from where you can. Yes, it's challenging. We understand that you've got, you know, there are things that people have in terms of commitments that they need to, you know, start living on their own, etc. And that's understandable. But you do need to start saving. And I think it's also about a behavior issue, Lester, that, you know, we need to build a culture of saving in our households, in the country in general, and that starts from these types of conversations within people joining companies and how they are allowed to structure their benefits.
There's something, and there's a phenomenon called analysis paralysis. Blessing. It is, I am being bombarded with information. I am told from as soon as I get my first job, save for retirement. Here's a policy. This is a RA. This is a provident fund. So much information comes through, particularly in a early career start or someone who is making changes in their career. So much information that comes through. How do we prevent the analysis paralysis from affecting us actually, you know, taking that first step of putting something in place for retirement?
Yeah. So Lester, I think generally most employers that would be participating in a retirement fund, if that retirement fund has been structured appropriately, when you join the fund, there is a glide path that you generally should follow. And many of these funds now have what we call default structures, and those default structures now need to be constructed in such a way that they can get someone to the decent retirement outcome when they get to their retirement age. So if you just follow those basics that are set in your retirement fund by your employer, and you take into account some of the rules of thumb that we put out there every now and again, you will be fine when you get to the age of retirement. So yes, there's a lot of information that comes through in terms of how much you should have at a particular age, but you know that's all to help people to understand and unpack. Because unfortunately, what tends to happen is that we tend to look after the person now and we forget about the person in 30, 35 years time. And so it's not a bad thing that we keep reminding people and giving them this information. In fact, I want to just explain, you know, one of the things that we've done to just bring this reality a little bit home. We did a social experiment as Old Mutual to reveal how South Africans are unprepared for retirement. So we took 8 typical families and we asked them to fill shopping trolleys with all their groceries they would need for a month. And they did not know that the items prices would be adjusted at the cost when the breadwinner retires at the checkout till. And what the experiment revealed was that all the families were over budget by somewhere between 100% and 800%. Wow. So that just shows you how dire the situation is. And we just have to keep people understanding that what the decisions that they make today will impact their reality when they get to retirement. And it was quite a stark experiment that revealed these results for us quite recently.
We're speaking to Blessing Utete. He's a managing executive at Old Mutual Corporate Consultants. We're in conversation with Old Mutual regarding saving for retirement. Blessing, I want to talk about saving during tough economic times, people making that decision. Do I either cancel a policy? Do I contribute less to a policy, to a retirement savings, simply to make ends meet during the course of the month? I want to unpack that with you in a short while. But if you have any questions, any messages, send us a call, 021-446-0567 or drop me a WhatsApp 072-567-1567. You're listening to In Conversation with Old Mutual here on The Morning Review. Welcome back. 21 minutes past 10 o'clock. We're in conversation with Old Mutual talking about retirement. The message here, Blessing, we're speaking to Blessing Uteti, Managing Executive at Old Mutual Corporate. It says, Lester, you will never have enough. Old age is very, very expensive. Decent old age home is 10,000 Rand per person today. Most, a lot more, and the old long, long waiting list. There's obviously the fear and anxiety of the future, Blessing. I have that, and I live with that every day. I continuously question myself on whether there is enough. And you spoke about what is enough, but talk us about what happens in my case 25 years time. Does retirement, does pension mean, well, Lester, you have enough to survive for the rest of your expected life? Or should retirement also be, you know what, Lester, you saved up for retirement, you've worked hard for 40, 45 years of your career. It's time now to travel. What is it for you?
Yeah, so I think, you know, it's really an individual decision as to what you want to do when you get to retirement. And you know, if you, as you say, if you want to travel, and, you know, it just means that you actually need to be saving more to take into account of the lifestyle that you want to have when you get to retirement. And I think the message just, you know, is such wisdom in terms of telling people how expensive things are in retirement. And we often don't, you know, don't think that much. And as I said, you know, the reality is you need to contribute consistently over your working lifetime at the right level of, say, 15%. For you to get to that, you know, to have saved enough. You know, I heard the message said there's never enough, but I think you can get to that point where there is enough if you save consistently in the right investments for your working career. And then, you know, as I said earlier, what is enough for me is probably not enough for you, Lester. It's really about the lifestyle that I choose when I get to retirement. And, you know, when I spoke about that social experiment, we've actually coined the term, you know, power their next beginning. And it's really about thinking about the beginning of life, you know, after retirement, after you've, you know, done your 40, 45 years of work, you know, you another chapter opens. And how does that chapter look for you in those retirement years?
Blessing, I don't need to underscore just how debilitating current economic times are. It's tough for middle income people. I then think of what it's like for working class and poor South Africans as well. We're all affected by an economic crunch. And many families, people who I know, have either cashed out policies that they are allowed to cash out to get them through this period. People who are cutting costs simply to put petrol to get to work. And when something is so distant, like retirement, if I tell myself, you know what, I'm going to stop this particular policy plan, I'll pick it up in a year's time, I'll contribute again. What does a year, let's just say a year to 18 months of stalling or pausing a retirement plan, what does that mean in 25 years' time? And people having to make very, very big decisions about whether they can survive during economic times or whether they can save for something that to them is so very, very far in the future.
Yeah. So Lester, I think, you know, the reality is that if you stop contributing into a retirement fund for any period of time, it's taking a knock into your future income. So that 70% that I spoke about and needing 35 years, if you end up doing 20 years or 15 years, that can halve that replace. So can you imagine a scenario where you were earning 10,000 Rand and you now only and you need, you know, 7,000 or in some cases, you know, higher, and you end up only getting to 3,000 Rand? And that's what this experiment showed us. You know, when we talk about people, you know, being over budget by 800%, that actually is the reality of, you know, how short people can be and you know, at retirement if you don't take the corrective actions at this time. And I think from an employer perspective, you know, an employer retirement fund arrangement, generally what would happen there is that you actually can't access that money unless you resign, get dismissed, retrenched, or die, you know, and that's when you can get access to the money. And the danger of accessing that money and spending it, you know, we are living in difficult times, as you said. The danger of spending that money and not preserving it for retirement is that you actually are reducing the time, the length of time that you have to save for retirement. And that therein is one of the issues that we have in our structure, that there is leakage in the system. You know, people always think, we always think about the now. You know, we always think about, you know, let me rather settle the debt that I have today rather than put that money aside because I've been saving it for retirement. Let me put it aside and make sure that, you know, come, you know, 20, 25 years from now, whatever the retirement age is, I've got the money available for it to add to my retirement kitty.
Well, if I'm dead, a payout is the least of my expectations. Sorry, yes.
It goes to your beneficiaries.
I totally understand. Yeah. But let's talk about tough economic times. Ahmad is messaging us here. And please, your calls, your messages to Blessing Utete, 021-446-0567. Ahmad says, hi, Lester. I don't hear your guest talking about inflation. I'm 10 years away from retirement, and I am terrified that inflation will eat into my pension. What can I do? I doubt I'll be able to retire and live the same life I am living now in 10 short years. That's from Ahmad here in Cape Town. Blessing.
Very important point raised by Ahmad. So inflation does play an impact. So you know, in terms of getting to the retirement objective that I spoke about of, you know, your a percentage of your salary as an income, you need to be saving, as I said, for, you know, at 15% for 35 years, and you need to be invested in an investment portfolio that will earn you around inflation plus 5% for that duration of your. So your investment structure does need to weather the inflation the inflation issue. So you do need to be earning investment returns that are above inflation all the way through to the time you get to retirement. And on average, that needs to be, you know, inflation plus 5%. And if Ahmad's done the right things up to now, where he's 10 years away from retirement, he must carry on with that, the right investment structure that's giving him those ideal investment returns. And when he gets to retirement, he should have a decent pot that's going to allow him to buy an income that will sustain him for his life in retirement. And I guess obviously also in retirement, you also have the issue of inflation there. So you need to be thinking about the solutions that you then buy at retirement. And there are a few options that people can take at that point. So there's some big decisions that are made on the day of retirement in terms of how you're going to be earning that income in your retirement years.
We're going to talk about options available. We are in conversation with Old Mutual. We are talking about retirement and the necessary tools to start a new journey in life, even if the journey is in 20, 30 years' time. We're speaking to Blessing Utete, Managing Executive at Old Mutual Corporate Consultants. I have plenty of friends who have, over the last 2 years and because of the pandemic, had a new outlook on careerism, on the professional world, corporate South Africa, the rat race, that some of them have stepped back. We've had, you know, corner office jobs in corporate South Africa, got impeccably dressed to go to the office, and maybe that comes with a little bit of a safety net in terms of the salary that they took home every month. But what impact is something that's called the Great Resignation affecting people's savings and people's plans for the future? People wanting slower lives away from the rat race. People choosing a gig economy. I'm one of them. I left permanent employment and I decided, let me try all these little fruits on many different trees to provide a income stream for myself. Let's also be honest, nothing is permanent in South Africa or in any place. No job is permanent. 1, 2, 3, there's a section 189 and you you know, you have the risk of being retrenched. So nothing is really permanent. But this thought of this great resignation, the gig economy, the diversifying of income streams, how does this play into planning for retirement, Blessing?
Yeah, Lester, it's actually a topical discussion regarding the great resignation and the changes in people's needs and career needs. What we're seeing is when, you know, people people do resign, I think the first thing I can say in that respect is, you know, put that money aside so that you can actually, preserve it until you get to retirement. The second issue is that you still need to think about how you're going to save for retirement, even in that side hustle or in the gig environment that people are going into. Because ultimately, you need to determine what kind of lifestyle you want to have when you get to retirement. So if you are a 35-year-old and you've now decided, you know, I'm going to set up my own shop, I'm going to freelance, you still need for the next 30 years to be, you know, thinking about how much you need to save off whatever income you're going to be getting, and is that going to be sufficient for your retirement years, and for those people that are still, you know, in full-time employment but have got additional work that they do outside, that's always a plus for those people, because they can actually, you know, contribute more and put some more aside in terms of the retirement savings that they're going to need when they get to retirement. And it just really means that you're securing your retirement in a better fashion than the individual that's only got their sort of income that they get from the work that they do from sort of 9 to 5.
We're going to be talking about options in a short while, and already, Marco, I will ask you a question as soon as we get to that segment of the conversation. Marco wants options. But let's go to a quick voice, and let's add another voice, some of our listener questions, 0725671567. Let's have a listen.
Hi, Lester. If your company has a provident fund, can you arrange with them to increase your provident fund as you get closer to your retirement? So let's say 3 years before retirement, you put an additional lump sum into, not lump sum, but an additional amount onto your provident fund. Is that an advisable thing to do, or should you take something separate?
Let's first talk about the difference between provident funds, retirement funds, pension funds. Blessing, before you answer that question.
Yes, so basically, you know, prior to March 2021, the difference between a provident fund and a pension fund was that a provident fund, when you get to retirement, you can take your lump sum out and then you can use that to buy a pension. But on a pension fund, you would need to take 1/3 of that benefit. You're allowed to take 1/3 of that benefit as a lump sum, and the balance 2/3 has to be used to buy a pension for you. The legislation changed in March 2021 to just almost align all of the retirement vehicles that you do need to take a pension when you get to retirement. And obviously there's regulations around people at a certain age when that changed can still get their lump sum. So if you are 55 already, you can still get your lump sum from a provident fund perspective onwards, etc. So that's in a nutshell the sort of new differences that are there. But I think that the question that's being asked is quite a relevant point in terms of how can you make the corrective action that you need to make. So most employers that are structuring retirement funds, we do encourage that they have some level of flexibility in terms of the contributions that that employees can make. So it is a very sound idea that people can actually have flexibility in deciding how much they want to contribute. If that's not there, there's also the ability to actually contribute voluntarily over and above the contribution rates that are set there. Remembering that for all the retirement vehicles, pension funds, provident funds, retirement annuity funds, there is the one big benefit, which is the tax deduction that you get for contributing to that to these funds. We're allowed to get a tax deduction of up to 27.5% of contributions that we put into these funds, and that's a huge benefit of these structures that we have. The benefit of the tax deduction that you get. So it is a very wise decision to actually up your contribution rates. And it doesn't have to happen in one swoop to get to the right level. So if you started contributing and you're, say, at 7.5%, and you know that you need to get to 15%, think about taking your next salary increase and putting 0.5% or 1% aside towards that. Mm. Over time, you'll get to that level of, you know, 15%. And you can then start increasing that. Mm. And if you do see the sort of, you know, most retirement funds will provide statements for you when you are on your journey, so on an annual basis. If you see you're off track, you're not on track in terms of getting to a decent retirement fund, you need to think about how do I actually increase those contributions even more than what, you know, what I've suggested as a 15%. You may, in your situation, actually need, you know, closer to the 27% if you started late. And you maybe you didn't preserve.
Blessing, is a question here from John in Hout Bay. He's asking if the concept of salary, and salary is in air quotes, salary, is that net or gross, i.e. after or before tax? There's obviously a difference between your salary and cost to company and all your contributions and the deductions. But if you can explain that to John, is salary net or gross, i.e. after or before tax?
So it's the gross. So it's 15% of the of your gross salary. That's what we refer to in that.
Let's go to a quick voice note. 0725671567. Taking your questions on retirement. We're in conversation with Old Mutual and Blessing Uteti, Managing Executive at Old Mutual Corporate Consultants. We're talking about while it's best to start early, there are tools and there are options for retirement, even if you a little bit of a late starter, it's never too late. Let's have a quick listen.
Good morning. So I am a 31-year-old mother of one and expecting another one due in November. So from a female logical point of view, I do have some questions regarding retirement. I have a few, so just be with me. The first one is obviously, how do you effectively plan for retirement? The second question is it actually worth it to retire? The third question would be, what exactly are the benefits of retiring? The fourth question is, how do you include unforeseen costs if you have a budget? The next question is, do you keep your medical aid or do you switch to a health insurance? Now, the most important question is, with regards to having children, do you save so that your children have an inheritance or sort of a head start financially, or do you put that money into a retirement plan? So, those are the questions that I have. Thank you.
That's a lot of questions. I hope you made notes. I got caught off guard when she said, and question number four. And then I said, oh, okay, let me start making notes to remind you. But I hope you got the gist of that, Blessing. But thank you so much for that message. And that shows that the 31-year-old already probably into the career still has plenty of questions on retirement and saving and planning for the future.
Yes, and I was about to pull out my pen and notebook to try and jot down the notes, and I was too late. But I think the first thing I wanted to say is it's really important to get advice along the way. I mean, the value of advice, I can't understate that in this conversation. So in this case, I would strongly suggest that the lady approaches, contacts a financial advisor. You know, if you go to Old Mutual, you will be able to find on our website, referrals to advisors. They can then walk you through a plan. And what they do is they then craft a plan that suits your needs. You spoke about having a child and another one on the way. That then allows that advisor to look at those circumstances and say, this is the suggested plan that you're going to need to get to a decent retirement. And then she asks the question, is it worth it to actually retire? Mm. Look, I think, you know, life expectancy is moving out. People are living longer. And we are finding that people do, you know, sort of slow down, but they're actually still doing some kind of work in those retirement years. And that's something that is, an individual choice.
Blessing, we have to have this broader policy conversation with employers and government in terms of, as you said, people are living longer, healthier lives. I know 64-year-olds who are going to outrun me in anything. But they're healthy. They're going to live still long lives. They don't see themselves as being a year away from retirement. But we have that conversation. But also we look at, we have this huge youth unemployment rate in South Africa, that we need to create space for youth to come up through and fall into our job market. So it's a broad policy conversation that we need to have on this legal requirement that when you hit 65, you have to retire, and all the calculations of tax and whether you continue as some sort of consultant or freelancer, which I see many companies doing at the moment. There's a broad policy conversation of what we do with a population that is getting healthier, living longer, and a very, very large youth unemployment problem for young people coming up in this career ranks.
It is a conversation that you know, employers do need to think about. You know, the longer you delay retirement, the better the retirement outcomes for your employees. But you raise an important point. You know, the fact that we've got a big unemployment issue, and we need to create unemployment for the youth that's coming through. So it's actually, you know, employers globally are looking at, you know, increasing retirement ages, and it's something that we do need to think about. And you know, I know that you know, employers in their benefit design of the structures that they want to have for retirement do take that into account. And so it's, you know, the 65 is not a compulsory, it's not a legislated age, you know, in terms of when you need to retire. It's more the construct of your retirement and your conditions of employment that you have.
I have friends who are 64 and they go to have the HR lady come knocking at the door saying, "Hey, it's your last year," and they're like, "No, it's not." Said, "Yes, it is." But we have Roger calling in from Cape Town. How are you doing, Roger?
Well, thank you, Lester. I just have a question for your guest. My retirement annuity matured in the end of 2020, and then I decided to add one third to the two thirds so I can get a monthly payout. The end of 2020, I got an amount, and about 3 months ago, I noticed that they are now taxing me 29% on the monthly installment that Old Mutual has been paying out. And I just wanted his advice and his comment on that, because I was always told that it's tax-free, but now they're taxing me 29%. Thank you. I listen on the radio.
Thanks so much, Roger. Would you have a question, Blessing?
Thank you.
No. So I'm actually just thinking, I mean, if you can, maybe the producer can just take Roger's details, I would definitely like to help him and see what his circumstances are. The issue around tax is that, yes, you get a tax deduction on the contributions going into the retirement fund. When you get to retirement, that style becomes income, and you do get taxed on that income that you're going to be receiving. You know, based on tax tables for ages over, you know, over 65 or whatever the age the retiree is. So it is income, and it is taxable as income at that age. But I would very much welcome Roger giving through your details, and I'll try and help him directly.
Appreciate it. Roger, you're going to be speaking to Amy in a short while. Let's go to Marco's question, and he says, "Good morning, Lester. Listening to the conversation now, can your guests perhaps advise on products that will yield interest as said to retire comfortably, either with Old Mutual or any other inflation plus 5% and above? Thanks so much, Marco." Let's talk about options. Let's talk about products. Let's talk about the conversations that you're going to be having with your financial advisor to sketch a future for you and what you're going to have to start saving now to attain that future.
Yes. Yeah, when we talk about products, I mean, we often look at, you know, what happens pre-retirement. So on your journey to retirement and you're contributing, and generally many employers would have their structures in place. So some of them would be in what we call standalone retirement funds, which they run and they're administered by service providers, and some would be in what we call commercial umbrella funds. We've got one which is called Superfund, and that's the fund that our employers participate in. But then you get to the issue of post retirement, and this is what I think Marco is referring to. So at post-retirement, you've got a decision that you're going to be making in terms of the kind of annuity that you buy. That's the pension that you're going to be buying. And broadly speaking, the categories of annuities are, you've got life or guaranteed annuities, which is an annuity that you purchase from an insurance company, and that is guaranteed for your lifetime. And that in itself has got various options within it. So, you know, you can buy a guaranteed annuity that is for you and your and your spouse. You know, it's called a joint and survivorship. Or the other option is what we call a living annuity, in which you your capital amount of money at the date of retirement is invested, and then you draw down on that amount. So broadly, those are the sort of two lanes that one would go into. But again, this is a this is an area where I again suggest that one needs to take advice. What I'm commenting on is just a general view of of the landscape. But one does need to take advice that, that helps the individual make the right decisions, because some of those decisions are once made, and you can't actually reverse some of those decisions. So you need to be very careful in terms of, you know, taking advice and giving getting the right advice around what's most appropriate for yourself in your circumstances. And when we talk about the sort of living annuity, you know, then you talk about what is the interest that you're going to be, or the investment returns that you need on that capital, and how much should you be drawing down on an annual basis so that you don't actually run out of money before you get to, before your demise.
Let's go to another voice note now. 0725671567. Speaking to Blessing Utete, executive, managing executive at Old Mutual Corporate Consultants. We're in conversation with Old Mutual regarding retirement. Let's have a listen, Johannes.
Hi, Lester. Could your guest please give me an investment that gives you a return of 5% plus inflation? I'm here to find one. And my other question is, there used to be a graph of some sort which would tell you that when you reach the age of 75, for instance, you shouldn't be drawing down more than 5% of your investment. Does that still exist? And can you give us some information about that? Thanks, Mary.
Thanks, Mary. Similar question there from Marco, but your response, Blessing?
Yeah, again, it's one of those issues that we again, you need advice around those solutions, and there are people that will advisor that will help you structure the right investment portfolio for you that will earn you that kind of return of inflation plus 5% over an average lifetime that you have. And onto the second issue, I think that's what I've dealt with in the Marco question as well.
Blessing. Our financial planning landscape has become more than just speaking to a consultant or a financial planner of what you just throw into this giant mattress somewhere at Old Mutual. There's a lot of programming, computing. There's algorithms that also monitor in which investment patterns to put money in. There is this thing that we're always talking about, artificial intelligence, computer learning. How has AI, automated investment tools and computing power, how has that affected or influenced how consumers are defending their resources as they plan for a long-term financial future?
Yeah. So Lester, I think the AI certainly helps in terms of the information and the inputs that an advisor would need to give the right advice to an individual coming up to retirement or during the course of their retirement. So those the information allows us to simulate what can happen if various things happen in the markets, and so that certainly does help in terms of how the advice is provided. But I think you can't understate the importance of having an advisor coach you and talk you through. So yes, you can. There's many areas where you can use a calculator, and it'll show you generally what you should be doing. But the advisors out there are very well placed to actually give and using the support of AI to give the best advice to members and people wanting to understand more about their retirement needs.
Blessing, I think we have time for one last voice note. Let's have a listen.
Good day, my name is Jamaluddin Collins. When it comes to financial advice, I always turn to a podcast called The Radical Personal Finance by Joshua Sheets. And what he tells us is that when you plan, always plan on how much you can, on the amount that you can actually save. The more you save, the quicker you can retire. My question is, with regards to retirement ages, They say that you can take 4% of every of your retirement without running out of money. Is that percentage attached to the age of 60, or is it just a general age? And if it is lower, if it's not for 60, what is the actual amount that you, the percentage that you should think about, and how do you calculate how much money you need in order to save to retire comfortably? Because in South Africa, I think it is 70% of people retire without enough money saved. So if I were to retire in sorry, I'm stumbling over my words. So basically, the question in a nutshell is, what is the equation that you need to use to factor in when considering retiring? At what age, what amount, and what percentage of your gross amount can you take without running out of money? Thank you.
Thanks so much, Mr. Collins. Blessing, you have the final word.
So just quickly on that one, there is a rule of thumb that says if you are taking a living annuity, you shouldn't draw down anything more than sort of 4 or 5%. And I think that's what the caller was referring to there. And that's just a rule of thumb. You need to really look at your investment structure that underlies. So if you're invested, for example, in a low return, low risk structure, then, you know, you actually can't use the 4 or 5%. You have to use something much less than that. So you need to be thinking about what the investments are, and that's why you need an advisor to actually help you through it. I haven't heard of the podcast you mentioned, but you know, there are many good podcasts out there. We also have a number of videos that we also have on our website that help people look at these sort of rules of thumb and what things they should check to see if they're on the right track or they're on the right glide path to get to a decent retirement.
Blessing, as usual with talk radio, they want to hear everything that you have to say first. And then at 5 minutes to the top of the hour, then the calls and the messages and the WhatsApps start flooding in, because then they realize they spend too much time listening and not too much time calling in. So we're going to have you back on air, it looks like.
Thank you. We'd really welcome that.
People will talk to your people and then we'll see what we can do. But that was In Conversation with Old Mutual on retirement. Blessing Udete, Managing Executive at Old Mutual Corporate Consultants. Thanks so much.